Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
What is the Bible? Who wrote the Bible?
The church will continue to be even more irrelevant when it quotes letters from 2,000 years ago.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, is where our trouble began.
This sounds to me like the voice of someone who really has an appalling ignorance of what the Bible says about itself and what Jesus said about it.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Don't worry. These are happy tears.
Welcome back.
This is Wretched Radio. Welcome back to the one, to the only, handsome and a little bit crabby, Jimmy Hicks. You've been gone for almost 3 weeks now.
It seems like a month.
But weren't you the fellow who said, I'll be back in a couple of days? Weren't we optimistic?
We certainly were.
So 3 weeks later, here you are. You're back in the saddle again. How are you feeling since the massive back, not one, but two back surgeries?
Yeah, I'm feeling fine. I feel okay. I'm definitely better than I have been, especially when I first got home from the hospital. Every day is an improvement.
Did they tell you how hard it was going to be?
You know, I think they did in a round and about way.
But that's my issue, is it? Well, this will be a pretty simple procedure, and you might have some discomfort. Obviously, you might have some mobility issues for a little bit. You were just flat out, like, whacked.
I was.
For a few days. And by the way, congratulations on getting off of drugs. How was your little time with Oxy?
It was interesting, that's for sure. It was definitely interesting, but
that stuff is so dangerous, isn't it?
Man, I tell you, I tried to go off of it after 2 weeks, and I didn't realize, because I've never been on it for that long a period of time, I didn't realize that you can't just go cold turkey.
With the Oxy.
Yeah. And so I was sweating and shaking, and I called my doctor, and he said, yeah, you need to take it.
Yeah. You think that's bad? Try some SSRIs. They're increasingly, it is being revealed, to get yourself off of SSRIs is such a thing. You have to microdose down, because if your brain has been on it for so long, to just go cold turkey, you will get really seriously hurt by it.
Mm.
The detox process of SSRIs might be right up there with your little Oxy trip that you were taking. So you got two zippers behind you.
Mm-hmm.
And are you feeling better?
I think so. I've noticed, so the biggest reason I had the surgery was obviously there was weakness and numbness in my right hand and leg. The numbness is still there, but the weakness is gone.
Right. So that's progress.
That is progress. And I'm optimistic about the numbness. They say that it could take up to 9 months possibly for the nerves to heal themselves. So I've just got to give it some time.
All right. And the cane, be honest, Jimmy. Is it for show?
No.
Or is it so that you could potentially just hurt somebody?
Neither. It's for safety. It's for just in case. I'm not necessarily confined to it, but there are times where I feel a little wombly, and I'm glad I have it.
All right. Okay. So you're feeling better health-wise. Mm-hmm. We'll keep praying for that regard. But tell me, what, sir, did you learn? You had to have had some introspective time to consider the bigger things in life.
Well, so a couple of things I learned. One, I want to say, first off, we have the best listeners in the world, because you told them to text me, and they did in droves and droves, and they're still doing it.
That's sweet.
Yeah, they are. And I wish I could respond back to them, but unfortunately I can't. But I just want to thank them for that. That was definitely an encouragement and a pick-me-up in a time when I needed it.
I'm so glad.
Yeah.
Isn't it good to be a Christian?
Absolutely.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Isn't it nice that you can go into a church of sound believers and you just feel like you're home?
Yeah.
That's just one of the bennies. Okay, so any big things like, I've decided to become a Buddhist?
No, nothing like that. I think I shared with you guys at an update about my wife.
Yep.
That's the biggest thing that I learned, was just how much of a special person she is. And I'm so grateful for her. And I wish I would have noticed and seen. And like, it's things that I know, but I just saw it for the first time with clarity, just how selfless she is. And so that's the biggest thing.
Look at you, just a gentle teddy bear.
The second thing is this a personal struggle for me for many, many years has been delegating. And I had no choice being out like this. I had to rely on other people to help me. And it scared me because I don't like to rely on other people. And I had to this time, and it worked out just fine. You know, actually, my hand doesn't have to be involved in everything.
Wow, that is a lesson.
That was a big lesson.
Wow, that's a big deal, because what's the word I'm looking for? Control freak.
Pretty much.
Yeah, is what you've historically been, because you just like to do it yourself, because you just find it to be easier and you just think you're better than everybody.
Well, you just know it's going to be done the way you want it done, number one.
whether it's better or not.
That's right. And you know it's going to get done. And that was me. It's just
you needed help.
Yeah, I needed help this time for sure.
All right. And just so everybody knows, even though you were like totally whacked, flying high on oxy, nevertheless, you were still producing the program.
Yeah. So I only actually missed 3 days of work, if you want to get technical about it.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's absolutely amazing. But the reason for your crabbiness this morning is?
The reason for my crabbiness this morning is because you changed everything.
Yeah. little bit, but the thing that hurts so much, Jimmy, we got all this new equipment for you because it's your birthday.
Yeah, it is.
Happy birthday. Sorry you didn't receive the birthday present with the joy that we anticipated. Nevertheless, happy birthday to you. I have a gift for you, Jimmy. I've been holding on to this now for weeks since you've been gone.
Okay.
Are you ready for this bad boy?
I don't know.
This is from the Washington Post. Wow, it must have been a slow news day at the Washington Post. Here it is. Science suggests cringeworthy dad jokes may serve an actual purpose. You've been vindicated.
Thank you, Washington Post.
By the way, Jimmy, when does a dad joke become a dad joke?
Is this a dad joke? I don't know.
When it becomes apparent.
That's a good one.
It's in the article. So a professor of psychology at the University of North Carolina at Greensboro, where do these grants come from that fund this type of research? He and a colleague analyzed 32,000 dad jokes.
Wow.
There's a lot of dad jokes, aren't there?
Yeah.
And they determined that it forms bonding, so that it can be good inside of a family, despite all of the eye rolling that your kids do every time that you do a dad joke. Oh, by the way, Jimmy, did you hear about the two thieves who stole a calendar?
Uh-uh.
Yeah, they each got 6 months. what they got. So humor is a playful social glue that makes everyone feel a little bit better. Well, not everyone. A little more at ease and closer to the people that they live with. So that's your present, Jimmy. You can continue doing dad jokes.
Thank you.
Tap into not only wit, but also the social dimension of humor. What the researcher calls relational fusion. Sort of like your back surgery was just that. Humor can be powerfully binding. Oh, by the way, Jimmy?
Yeah?
I was wondering why the Frisbee kept getting bigger and bigger. And then it hit me.
It's
all dad joke.
That's funny.
Yeah, right. So there you go.
I don't know why you don't like these. These are hilarious.
Nah. Hilarious.
Yeah, they are.
Amusing is what they are. They're absolutely amusing. So welcome back. You didn't receive your birthday present as well as we had hoped, but you're vindicated with your dad jokes. You're recovering. You're doing well. You've learned some lessons along the way. And we learned some lessons too.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, we did, Jimmy. This is actually something that I knew, but I was simply reminded of. It is a rare thing these days, not just ministry, but I think in almost every work context, that the people who are committed to a mission or a goal or a vision are very rare, and people are very reticent these days to do hard things in commitment to the goal. But you're one of those guys. You're one of those guys. Even though you were really, you should not have been working. You continued to work. Mm. you continue to just produce so much stuff around here that so many people benefit from. So all that to say, we're grateful for you. We are super glad that you're back. And we're sorry that you're crabby.
It'll get better. With my back, it'll get better.
Well, and when you get familiar with the equipment.
That's right.
Do you know who else actually is like what I'm describing about you, Jimmy?
Who's that?
Adrian.
Oh, yeah. He's crabby, too.
No, he's not. Well, maybe he is. I don't think typically
he is. I've never seen him crabby.
A lot. No, I haven't either. A lot of you might remember Adrian because he worked here for 6 years. Adrian came to us when he didn't even have a whisker when he first got here. Now he's got a beard. And he was a part of the team for so many years. And he's one of those guys who worked so hard. So we did some rearranging of the furniture here while you were gone with the new equipment that should hopefully help us be more efficient with production. And I said, well, that wall over there, it's kind of blank. Hey, I've got an idea. We could take one of the barn doors from over at the studios and we could put it here. And I just left it at that. Well, 2 hours later, I see Adrian schlepping a barn door by himself. That thing is easily 150 by himself because he's that kind of guy and you're that kind of guy. And we're super grateful for you, Jimmy Hicks. Welcome back.
Glad to be back.
This is Wretched Radio.
So your phone rings and there's a friend at church who just lost her husband. You want to help, but honestly, you don't know what to say. That's why Fortis Forums exist. This is real teaching on grief and marriage and mental health and manhood and more. And they're all available for you to view right now on Fortis Plus. You can download it on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. And the next time you don't know what to say, you might actually have an answer. Should Christians drink? What about tattoos? Is it okay to send your kids to public school, or does homeschool make you holier? Christians love to argue about stuff the Bible doesn't actually command or forbid. That's where Christian Liberty comes in. It's a teaching series with Todd Friel, Phil Johnson, and Ty Blackburn, all walking you through one of the most neglected doctrines in all of Scripture. Christian Liberty, it's streaming right now for free on Fortis Plus. Just download the app where you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Every man knows what it's like to fight a battle no one else can see. You wake up, you're determined that today is going to be different. This time, you're going to be stronger than the temptation. But then evening comes. And there you are again, right back where you started. You're making promises to yourself that you already know deep down that you're not going to keep tomorrow. That's what Todd Friel gets into very deeply with his resource, Play the Man. It's available right now as an ebook, an audiobook, and video series only at fortisplus.org. You know, you can love the Lord with absolutely everything in you and still go mute when somebody asks you, how do you even know the Bible is true? You feel the answer deep down. You just can't put it into words. And Dr. Jason Lyle has spent his entire career studying the universe. And in his new series, Irrefutable Proof of Creation, he asks the hard questions about God and turns doubt into confidence. Irrefutable Proof of Creation is streaming right now on Fortis Plus with new episodes dropping every week. Trust the science. You've heard it a million times, usually right before someone uses it to shut a conversation down instead of open one up. But science is a tool. It's not a judge. And like any tool, it depends on who's holding it and what they already believe. That's where In the Beginning with Dr. Jason Lyle comes in. He's a PhD astrophysicist. He'll teach you to read the science headlines without getting played. New episodes of In the Beginning are dropped every single Wednesday on every single podcast platform in existence or at fortisplus.org.
Hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is the art and science of interpreting scripture. One key principle of hermeneutics is reading verses in context. Words can have multiple meanings, but the intended meaning of a word is understood from its context in the surrounding words, verses, paragraphs, and chapters, all understood in the context of the Bible as a whole. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Clever. And oh, so deceptive. This is Wretched Radio. Marie Mazante, she has perhaps popped up in your YouTube feed. She's all the rage. She's a cradle Catholic. She's a podcaster. And she's trying to persuade you, dear evangelical, you've got nothing to worry about when it comes to having a Roman Catholic friend. Why? Because they, according to Marie, believe the same thing you do. In other words, she's a Roman Catholic apologist, and she is on the warpath to persuade people to come home to the mother. What you're about to hear is a video. It has been seen over 800,000 times. In other words, this woman is gaining traction, and it's very clever, but if you don't listen carefully, you could easily be deceived by her arguments. What you're about to hear is a conversation between her as an ex-Catholic, presumably an evangelical now, and with herself being a Roman Catholic. So it's going to be a back and forth between an evangelical ex-Catholic and a Roman Catholic. Listen very, very carefully.
I don't know if I've ever told you this, but I used to be Catholic, you know. I was born into it. Went to Mass every week for over 30 years. Went to Catholic school, the whole thing. But I never actually heard the gospel until I left and became a real Christian.
Ah, so she's taken a poke at us. And she's now going to try to defeat our argument. Where we would be deceived by her response to the accusation that is an evangelical who went to a Catholic church, now evangelical who went to a Catholic church, never heard the gospel. It has everything to do with the definition of gospel. What is the gospel? Well, according to Protestants, it is grace alone, faith alone, through Christ alone. A Roman Catholic would say, oh, yes, it is about grace. No, yes, it is about faith. Oh, yes, it is about Christ. Not alone. It requires more than that.
30 years and never heard the gospel. Okay, I have to ask, what do you mean by the gospel?
Exactly. Great question.
Actually, pretty simple. Four steps. One, we're all sinners who need God's forgiveness. Two, only God can save us. Three, Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And four, we accept him as our personal Lord and Savior. That's it.
No, that's actually not it. It is repentance and faith. We don't accept Jesus. We repent and put our trust in him. He accepts us. That's the evangelical response. It's now going to be refuted by herself, a Roman Catholic.
Gospel. And I never heard any of that at Mass. Can I show you something? Sure. Step one. We're sinners who need forgiveness. Every single Mass, before anything else happens, every Catholic stands up and prays out loud. I confess to Almighty God that I have sinned through my own fault, in my thoughts, in my words, in what I have done, and what I have failed to do.
Excellent. No problem with that.
We don't whisper it privately. We say it together, out loud, in public, every week. Okay, but Catholics don't believe God alone saves them. You pray to Mary. You pray to saints. It's not biblical.
Okay, that was actually a side road. That was not well scripted. That was a distraction from the conversation about what the gospel is. Nevertheless, we need to listen carefully. This woman is gaining traction. The accusation from the evangelical, hey, you pray to Mary.
Ask Mary to pray to God for us. The same way I'd ask you right now. Hey, pray for me.
Actually, that's not the same thing. See, here's the difference. If I ask Jimmy to pray for me, I'm talking to a live human being who can pray for me. We don't speak to people who are dead. We speak to our live Savior, but we do not speak to human beings. We do not communicate with any. There isn't a single Bible verse that even hints that you can talk to somebody who is in heaven, except for the Trinitarian God. So this is a little sneaky defense here. Hey, it's just like asking somebody else to pray for you other than no. No, it's not, actually.
I mean, I think you saved me. No, but that's different. Is it? Just so we're clear, right after that confession, we pray the Gloria out loud together. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. Have mercy on us. You alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ.
Now, she's leaving information out, isn't she? She's not talking about what the Roman Catholic Church has codified about Mary being a co-redemptrix. Hello? being an intercessor, that her merits somehow help us in heaven. So what they say about Jesus, some of their liturgy is super fine. If you go read any of the liturgical, in the front of the hymnal, any of the liturgies that are laid out, the confessions, wow, they're amazing. Methodist, Presbyterian, Episcopalian, if they're using their old hymnals, they have a lot of great stuff. The same thing is true with the Roman Catholic Church. Yes, they admit that Jesus Christ is the Holy One, but they also add to it. They say that, yes, Jesus forgives sins, but they add to it. So what she is doing in an effort to persuade evangelicals that we believe the same thing is simply leaving out a lot of details.
You alone, every Sunday.
Oh man, I remember seeing that.
Step three, Jesus died on the cross for our sins. The Creed, every week. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. For our sake, he was crucified. And then the Eucharistic prayer, the priest says.
Okay, hold on. Before we get to the Eucharistic prayer, which is another failure to disclose what the Eucharist is about. She's saying that we confess that Jesus Christ forgives us of our sins. That is not inaccurate. But it's not total. It isn't everything that a Roman Catholic needs to do to have their sins forgiven. They must continue to do what? Well, they must take the Eucharist. They must go to confession. They must do deeds of charity, of love. They must get last rites. In other words, they have to do stuff too. She's leaving this out. And I wonder how many evangelicals are being persuaded by this woman that I guess they believe the same thing we do. And they seem to be so much more serious. They seem to be so much more earnest. Maybe I'll swim across the Tiber and go back to Rome or join the Roman Catholic Church. Speaking of which, WNG.org, an article titled Pilgrims of a Certain Age, it describes this trend of people, older people and younger people too, who are swimming across the Tiber to get to Rome or to the Anglican Communion or to Eastern Orthodoxy. Why? Because they're looking for something that isn't so silly. So much of evangelicalism, it just feels trite. What do you mean a movie sermon series? Well, there's the dim lights and the repetitious music. Really? This is Christianity? We'd like something a little bit more mature. And so this individual is writing about, as a single woman, older single women, they're striking out in their 60s toward ancient spiritual destinations. The article said, we women of a certain age aren't leaving evangelical churches because we've abandoned faith in Christ or the doctrine of grace. Some of us have simply lost confidence in the late modern evangelical delivery system. After decades inside personality-driven, sermon-centered churches, we are looking for reverence, for sacrament, creed, and calendar, for theological continuity that stretches beyond Mr. Gutenberg's movable type to wax tablets, parchment, and papyrus. In other words, they want to go all the way back, not just to the Protestant Reformation, but to the beginning. This migration, according to a Wheaton College professor back in 1985, who wrote a book titled Evangelicals on the Canterbury Trail, back there it was identifying people want something that's just not so silly. And I can't help but wonder how many people would watch this woman and go, hey, I don't have to violate my evangelical conscience. I don't have to jettison faith alone and grace alone and Christ alone because Roman Catholics are just like us. No. No, they're not. Do we share some doctrines? Yes. But when you add anything to salvation by grace alone, through faith alone and Christ alone, then you have a different system. You have a Galatians system. You have a system where we would say that they would be anathema, just like they say about us. This woman, very clever. She's now talking about the Eucharistic prayer to prove, see, we believe in grace alone too.
Father, you so loved the world that in the fullness of time, you sent your only son to be our savior. In fulfillment of your will, he gave himself up to death. But by rising from the dead, he destroyed death and restored life.
Good. Yes. Yes. What about that Mary being the co-redemptrix part? What about all the stuff that we have to do in addition to that? That's why this is clever and sneaky.
And then the congregation responds, we proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again. Whew, a lot of this is coming back to me now. Every week. So steps 1, 2, and 3, all there every Sunday. But your fourth step is the big one. personally accepting Jesus.
No, repenting and putting your trust in Jesus Christ.
And that's actually where it gets really interesting. Have you ever thought about what happens right after communion? What do you mean? The priest holds up the Eucharist and says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb." And then every Catholic responds with my favorite, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word and my soul shall be healed."
Sounds nice, doesn't it? She just left out some details. That she believes that the elements transubstantiate, that the bread actually becomes the body, the wine becomes the blood, and it is necessary to consume that in order to have your sins forgiven. Because the priest has called down Jesus to re-sacrifice him on the altar. So is what she is saying, some of it is very fine and true. She's just not disclosing the whole truth and nothing but the truth. If you run into Marie Mazzante, please note, while she seems earnest and she's very, very clever, she's simply not telling the truth. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.